Haim Land Nagrai, long, long ago there lived a poor Brahmin in Kashmir named Sodaram. Fortune had yoked him to a wife who was ambitious and discontented. She always grumbled for lack of the many requirements of material prosperity and called her husband a foolish drone. She had a terrible tongue which was used to a devastating effect against her husband and became sharper and progressively vitriolic in that exercise. Sodaram was sick of her and would very much have liked to get rid of her but found no way out. One day, when his wife asked him to go to a not distant place to receive alms from a king, he jumped at the proposal, as that would give him a welcome respite for a few days. He left his home carrying a little food in a small wallet, traveling some distance. In the hot sun he felt tired. Luckily he came to a shady grove of trees near a spring. He put down his small bundle, took his rough meal, and lay down for a little rest. Before Sodaram resumed his journey he saw a serpent come out of the spring and enter the little wallet he carried. An idea flashed across his mind. He would carry the serpent home to sting his wife and thus get rid of her. With trembling hands he closed the mouth of the wallet with a string and returned home with a light heart. "I have got a precious gift for you," Sodaram shouted to his wife when he reached home. At first she would not believe it, as her husband was the last man to do things that pleased her heart. However, having persuaded her that his bag held the gift, he gave it to her, stepped out of the room, and closed the door from outside. When the Brahmin lady opened the bag, the serpent popped its head out. She shrieked and ran to the door, but it did not open, and Sodaram said, "Let it sting you for aught I care." The serpent apparently spared the woman and a miracle room, and the serpent changed into a little male baby. Even Sodaram was wonderstruck against his better knowledge. It was a piece of good fortune beyond the wildest dreams of his wife. In course of time the baby grew into a boy, the beloved of his foster parents, to whom he brought great prosperity. He came to be known as Nagrai, the king of serpents. One day he asked his father to take him to a spring of pure water, where he wanted to take a bath. His father told him that there was only one such spring, but that belonged to the princess and was surrounded by lofty walls. It was so heavily guarded, he told him, that not even a bird was permitted to take flight over it. But Nagrai's curiosity was fanned, and he persuaded his father to take him to the outer wall. Reaching there, the boy turned into a serpent, crept in through a crevice into the wall, satisfied his craving for a bath in the limpid spring, and returned quietly unobserved. The next day the illustrious Haimal, the daughter of the king, observed that someone had taken a bath in the spring, as she had heard the splashing of water, but neither the maids nor the guards had seen anyone. Nagrai repeated his visit the next day undetected, but on the day after, Haimal caught a glimpse of the intruder and was enthralled by his looks. She at once set a maidservant after him and came to know that he was the son of the Brahmin Sodaram. She was delighted to know that the young man who had won her heart belonged to the same city as she herself, and made up her mind to marry no one except the Brahmin boy. Discarding her modesty and the traditional good manners, she approached her father in trepidation and broached the subject to him. Her father did not mind her marrying the young man of her own choice, but it was ridiculous and humiliating for him to have a poor Brahmin for his son-in-law. "How can I show my face to the fellow princes of my caste, or to the courtiers and wazirs?" he reprimanded her, but she was dead set on it. She refused to touch her food or make her toilet till the king granted her her boon. In a few days, realizing the futility of his resistance, her father sent for Sodaram. The latter was already appalled when he stepped into the palace, but was utterly perplexed when the king mentioned the subject of the alliance. "I am a poor Brahmin, sire," he said, "and how can I be worthy of such a peerless daughter-in-law?" But even he found himself helpless as Nagrai compelled him to give his consent to the alliance, which he did reluctantly. As the wedding day approached, Sodaram was enveloped in gloom. "What a sorry figure shall we cut," he told everyone, "when we lead the wedding party into the palace." But Nagrai told him not to have any anxiety on this score. On the wedding day he gave him a piece of birch bark inscribed with a message, and asked him to drop it in a spring. When Sodaram returned home he felt dazed, as he saw a gorgeous palace, where he expected his poor hut. He felt convinced that he had lost his way. He also heard the beating of drums and the skirting of pipes inside, and saw caparisoned horses and elephants, guards with glittering uniforms and retainers. From inside came Nagrai befittingly dressed as a princely bridegroom, and assured him that all was ready. The whole city was agog with music, feasting and revelry in honor of the wedding of Haimal and Nagrai. A new palace was built for them on the river bank, where they lived happily. They were, however, not destined to enjoy their happiness for long. The serpent wives of Nag Hrai felt forlorn in his absence in the netherworld, and made efforts to trace him out. One of them assumed the human form, and made inquiries after her husband, and learned of his marriage with Hymel, to remind him of his attachment to his serpent wives. She had carried with her a few rare golden vessels of his. Approaching the mansion of Hymel, she began to hawk her wares. Hymel was attracted by her curios, and purchased them at a throwaway price. When Nag Hrai returned, she displayed to him the curios. He at once understood the mischief of his serpent wives, broke the vessels to splinters, and warned Hymel not to succumb to the tempting talk of such women again. She was puzzled but kept quiet. Another serpent wife tried a different trick when the first failed. Disguising herself as a cobbler woman, she approached Hymel and asked her if she knew of her husband Nag Hrai the cobbler. "Nag Hrai is my husband," replied Hymel, "but he is a Brahmin, son of Sotaram." "I don't know about that," said the other. "What I know is that Nag Hrai is my husband, and is a cobbler by caste." She saw from Hymel's face that her words were beginning to have effect. She added, "You may ask him his caste, but, to make sure you may set him the trial, ask him to plunge into a spring of milk. His body will sink if he be a Brahmin, a cobbler's body will float on the surface." When Nag Hrai came home, Hymel asked him to state his caste. He understood that she had been befouled by the serpent wives, and told her so, but she insisted that he should undergo the trial to convince her of his caste. All his arguments failed to convince her that it was a trap laid down by her enemies. Ultimately, he was induced to face the trial to allay her misgivings. He dipped his feet in a spring full of milk, and was pulled down by his serpent wives. He resisted their pull, in the hope that Hymel might be satisfied, but to no avail. When his knees were immersed, he said, "Hymel, are you satisfied?" She was not. When his thighs were also immersed, he repeated the question, but she said nothing. He appealed to Hymel again and again when the surface of milk reached his navel, his chest, and his chin, but her misgivings about his caste were not cleared yet. She realized the gravity of the situation. When he was immersed to his forehead, she sprang and tried to pull him out by the tuft of hair on his head, but it was too late. Nag Hrai disappeared under the milk, and Hymel was left only with a tuft of hair in her hand. Hymel was left forlorn. Her grief was beyond words, and nothing could console her. She was in dismay and sorrow. The worst of it was that her own folly led to her undoing. To expiate her stupidity, she decided to give all her wealth in charity. Every day she relieved the distress of scores of men and women, and gave away everything she had in silver, gold, and jewels, till only a golden mortar and pestle was left with her. Once an old man and his daughter came to her for alms. She served them food, and he narrated to her a tale that filled her with excitement. He told her that one night he and his daughter lay under a tree near a spring. At midnight they heard a great noise, as of an army on the march. Then came a number of servants out of the spring, who cleaned the area, and cooked a large feast which was served to many guests, including a prince. They all disappeared within the spring except their chief. He left a little food under the tree, saying, "This is in the name of unlucky Hymel," and disappeared within the spring. Hymel persuaded the old man to take her to the spring, and rewarded him with the remnants of her wealth, the golden mortar and pestle. At night, with her own eyes, she saw the series of events narrated by the old man. Her nerves were tense and her heart was racing. When Nag Hrai came out of the spring, she prostrated herself at his feet. Nag Hrai was overcome with emotion, but he was afraid that his serpent wives would kill Hymel if he took her to his abode. He consoled her, and advised her to wait for a month or so till he could make some arrangement for her stay. Hymel would brook no further separation from him, and coiled herself round his legs. Nag Hrai was in a pretty fix now. At last he turned her into a pebble, hid her in his turban, and went back to his home. In the serpent world, his wives began to look askance upon him and accused him of the smell of human flesh in his company. He could conceal the secret no longer, and reconverted her into the human form. After they had solemnly promised that they would not molest her, they were highly impressed with her beauty and tenderness, and could not help being jealous. As they had solemnly promised Nag Hrai not to do her any harm, they had their revenge by imposing all the culinary drudgery upon her. This princess, brought up in a palace with maids and servants to carry out her every whim, gladly undertook to look after the kitchen of the serpents. But she had no experience of these affairs, and revealed herself to be a clumsy and uncouth cook. One day, while pouring boiled milk into basins to cool it for the serpent children, her ladle accidentally struck one of the vessels. The serpent children mistook it for their usual breakfast gong. They rushed to the kitchen and gulped the hot milk, As a result, they died of burns. The serpent wives were overcome with grief. They stung Hymel, and she died immediately. Nagrai was overwhelmed with grief, but he was helpless. He washed the body of Hymel, and under presence of cremating it carried it through the spring. He was so moved by his affection for Hymel that he could not stand the idea of consigning it to the flames. Instead, he embalmed it and stretched it on a bed which he placed in a tree nearby. Now and then he would come out of the spring and remorsefully look on the beauty of the dead form not long after. A holy man happened to come to the spring and saw the dead body. He was so impressed by the beauty of Hymel and the devotion of Nagrai that he gave the body the gift of life. He then carried Hymel to his home, where the holy man's son was fascinated with her beauty and, not knowing her story, set his heart on marrying her. A couple of days later, Nagrai came once again out of the spring to draw consolation from a sight of Hymel's body. He was grieved to find the body missing and sought to solve the mystery before retiring. He traced her ultimately to the holy man's hut, where she was lying asleep, and was delighted to find her living once again. He did not want to disturb her while asleep and, therefore, coiled himself near the bed of Hymel till she would wake up. In the meantime, the holy man's son entered the cottage and was alarmed to see the snake. He at once killed the snake. Hymel woke up in this commotion, realized the significance of the snake, and bewailed its unnatural death. "Once again has he suffered for my sake," she mourned. She had the dead snake cremated, and ascending the funeral pyre committed herself to the flames as SATI. Everyone was moved by their devotion and the sacrifice they made for each other. The holy man was especially remorseful because it was in his hut where Nagrai, out of love for Hymel, had lost his life, and this had led to the self-immolation of Hymel also. He felt deeply concerned. One day, while he was brooding over this question, he heard two birds talking about the love, devotion, and sacrifice of Hymel and Nagrai. The female bird said to her consort, "Can they ever regain their human form?" "Verily so," replied the latter. "If their ashes are thrown into the spring." The holy man realized that the two birds were none else than Shiva and Parvati. He at once threw the ashes into the spring. Hymel and Nagrai came to life in their human form once again, and lived without further mishap ever after.